마타가 근접이하니 나여라타 마타가 근접이하니 꽃피잖아 벌려파 이리버릇하니 야야 꽃피잖아 벌려파 이리버릇하니 Rajasana Vandana Rajasana Munatira Kanatari Kanatara Kanatari
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam 1:19-14. Tasyaiva.
Tasyaiva.
Me.
Me.
Tasya.
Tasya.
Parabhadesho.
Parabhadesho.
Vyasakta.
Vyasakta.
Chittasya.
Chittasya.
Griheshu.
Griheshu.
Abhikshnam.
Abhikshnam.
Nirveda.
Nirveda.
Mudo.
Mudo.
Vidrashaparupo.
Vidrashaparupo.
Yatra.
Yatra.
Prasakto,
prasakto,
bhayam,
bhayam,
ashu,
ashu,
tate,
tate,
tasyagame dhasya paravadesho,
tasyagame dhasya paravadesho,
vyasakta chittasya griheshva bhikshnam,
vyasakta chittasya griheshva bhikshnam,
nirveda mulo vritashapa rupo, Yatra prasakto bhayamashu dhatte
Yatra prasakto bhayamashu dhatte
Tasyagame khasya parabhadesho
Tasyagame khasya parabhadesho
Yasakta chittasya griheshva bhikshnam
Yasakta chittasya griheshva bhikshnam
Nirveda mulo dvijashapa rupo
Nirveda mulo dvijashapa rupo
Yatra prasakto bhayamashu dhatte
Yatra prasakto bhayamashu dhatte
Tasyaiva
me grahasya parabhadesho
Tasyaiva
me grahasya parabhadesho Tasyaiva me Veda mula jitika kukupo
Yatra prakasho hayam asnu dhati
Yatra prasakto hayam asnu dhati
Tasyaiva me khasya parabhadesho
Tasyaiva me khasya parabhadesho
Yasakta chittasya griheshva bhikshnam
Yasakta chittasya griheshva bhikshnam Veda mula dvijashapa rupo
Yatra prasakto bhayam asnu dhatte
Yatra prasakto bhayam asnu dhatte
Tasyaiva me khasya parabhadesho Yasakta,
overly attached.
Chittasya,
of the mind.
Griheshu,
family affairs.
Abhikshnam,
always.
Nirveda mulaha, the source of detachment. Vidyashapa, cursing by the Brahma. Rupaha, form of.
Yatra,
Vrakam.
Prasaktaha,
one who is affected. Bhayam.
Bhayam.
Fearfulness.
Fearfulness.
Asu.
Asu.
Very soon.
Very soon.
Patte.
Patte.
Take place.
Take place.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me in the form of a Brahman's curse. Due to my being too much attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from the world. Maharaj Pariksit, although born in a family of great devotees, the Pandavas, and although securely trained in transcendental attachment for the association of the Lord, still found the allurement of mundane family life so strong that it had to be detached by a plan of the Lord. Such direct action is taken by the Lord in the case of a special devotee. Maharaj Pariksit could understand this by the presence of the topmost transcendentalists in the universe. The Lord resides with his devotees, and therefore the presence of the great saints indicated the presence of the Lord. The king, therefore, welcomed the presence of the great rishis as a mark of favor of the Supreme Lord. Om Ajana Timiran Tasya Gyananjana Salakaya Sakshin Vitam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopisham Apitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Bhupapada Maiham Tathati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapada Tamanam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Agrakam Sahagana Gaganatan Vitam Sam Sadivam Sadvaitam Sabhutam Purvijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Gavita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Rishabhanu Kuse Devi Pranamani Hori Priye Vanta Sota Kuru Jasya Kripa Sindho Devasa Sajita Nam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tasya eva me atasya paravaresho vyasakta chitasya grihesha bhikshna nirveda mulo vijushata rupo yatra prasakto bhayam asu tate. This is a devotee. Whatever comes, he welcomes it as the mercy of the Lord. He's, in that sense, equipoised. If Krishna sends what seems like good fortune, then that that's all right. And if Krishna sends ill fortune or difficulty, that's all right. In either case, he remembers Krishna and thinks that Krishna is helping me. So here, Atasya, I'm a sinful person, and the Lord is Paradaresha, he's the supreme controller of the material and spiritual worlds. Ishara Sarvabhutana, he's situated within the heart of everyone. So he knows, that I'm too attached to family life. Asakta means attached. And Vyasakta, exceedingly attached. Apichna, too much attached. Chittasya, my mind is too attached to Grihesha, family affairs. In Bhagavad Gita, Asakta Anabhishvanga Putra Grihadishu. Among the items of knowledge is detachment from wife, home, family, children. Srila Prabhupada glosses it in his commentary as not to be more attached to home and family than ordained in the revealed scriptures. Is that someone talking on the phone outside?
I'm listening through the radio, but it's feeding back. If you're speaking, Maharaj, but it's a delay.
But it's the radio. So, appreciate it, but... But it'll drive you nuts. So there's an allowance in Shastra for family attachment, family connection. But the tendency is to become too much attached. That our minds go to family, and we forget Krishna, or not entirely forget, but Krishna moves into the background while family affairs take center stage. We become wrapped up in family maintenance, earning money, taking care of family affairs, and become trapped in these things. Prabhupada Maharaj says one becomes like a silkworm wrapped up in its own cocoon. We build a material situation for ourselves, and then we're stuck. And how will we get out? The silkworm merchant. The silk merchant comes and throws us in boiling oil or water, and then we're finished. Prahlad Maharaj, this is stated by Prahlad Maharaj. Chajeta kosha krit, ibehama. Kosha krit means the silk worm. This is some canto. 17. How can a person most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart always filled with their pictures, give up their association? specifically. The wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear. And their affectionate father always thinks of their sweetness. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents and one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father, and while living at her husband's house, she's always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? Now our servants are electronic. The attached householder is like a silkworm, which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out. Simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue, one is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? So this is Prahlad Maharaj painting the picture of attachment and in family life. In the next verse, one who's too attached cannot understand that he's wasting his valuable life for the maintenance of his family. Working, 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 he's busy in family affairs, and his life is being wasted. Is this my mission in life? Did I get a human birth just to maintain my family members the way any animal does? He also fails to understand that the purpose of human life, a life suitable for realization of the absolute truth, is being imperceptibly spoiled. However, he's very cleverly attentive to seeing that not a single farthing is lost by mismanagement. Thus, although an attached person in material existence always suffers from threefold miseries, he does not develop a distaste for the way of material existence. When I went to Hungary the first time, it was during the communist time. And, you know, as an American, I had this picture that there's always somebody from the KGB following all the citizens and everybody's hemmed in. And when I got there, I saw that life was going on normally, same as here. And anyway, give you the story of how I saw it, but it was clear that as long as family life is going on, then things continue. Or more explicitly, as long as sex is going on, then, you know, we get on the buses, we go to work, we do everything, and we tolerate whatever oppressive restrictions there may be. As long as there can be family happiness. If a person too attached to the duties of family maintenance, this is the next one, is unable to control the senses, the core of his heart is immersed in how to accumulate money. although he knows that one who takes the wealth of others will be punished by the laws of the government and the laws of Yamaraj after death, he continues cheating to acquire. So it goes on, of course. The text goes on. But this is the picture that this tight knot of family affection is so strong that one becomes immersed in the affairs of the body. Home, food, the family relationship, multiple family relationships, and one becomes preoccupied. One is always thinking about my wife, my kids, my parents, my home, my job, my money, my parents, my kids, my job, my money, my home, my bank. Always thinking of these things, because they demand our attention. I have to buy this, I have to buy that, I have to pay for this, I have to pay for that, I have to fix this, I have to tend to that, I have to call the doctor for this one, I have to call the doctor for that one. We have to see about the school, we have to see about this. It just becomes all absorbing. And therefore, as Prahlad says, imperceptibly our life is being spoiled. Another week goes by, another month goes by, another year goes by, another life goes by. And we don't see it. What happened? And maybe we started out. Maybe we became Krishna conscious and we decided that life was meant for spiritual realization. That we wanted to give up what we were doing and dedicate ourselves to Krishna. But at some point we become caught up in family affairs and more family affairs and duties and responsibilities and needs and making family members happy, paying for everything. So one needs to be Krishna conscious. To begin with, one needs to strictly follow four regulative principles and chant 16 yams a day, and rise early in the morning, and be engaged in spiritual activities, so that while one is busy in family affairs, one can remember Krishna. Mamanu Smarayujita. Krishna told Arjuna, think of me in life. And at a certain point, one should detach oneself from family affairs. The early training is brahmacharya training. Then the next stage is family life. And the next stage is retired life, vanaprastha. Vanaprastha means detachment. As a young householder builds up everything, his career, his home, his assets, his family expansion, all being built up. Now vanaprastha life means wind down. Wind down. Because our notice is there, our teaching is there, our experience is there, that the body also is on a downward curve. So it's helping us if we look at it that way. Prakshit Maharaj said, you come in the form of a Brahmin's curse, Trijarupa, Trijashaparupa. Your mercy has come to me in the form of a Brahmin's curse just to relieve me of all of these things. So we may not be so dramatically cursed by a Brahmin boy, but we're all cursed. Cursed by arthritis, cursed by this, cursed by that, cursed by hearing loss, cursed by poor eyesight, by aching muscles, by broken bones, by you can spend some days on this. But this is old age. Everything starts to buckle and break and stretch and not go back to what it was, not bounce back. Therefore, the Vanaprastha Ashram, rather than fight it like a fool and try to stick to family happiness and bounce our little grandkids on our knees and be happy in the family security, an illusory family security. One should make a serious program for detachment from family life. Just as we make plans for our career, we make plans for our kids' education, we make plans for so many things. So we should make a serious plan to get out of family life. There are different systems of Vanaprastha life. One may go live in a holy place, one may travel to holy places, one may come and go from home. There are many different things one can do. But this detachment from family life is considered essential for spiritual progress. I was supposed to read two verses today. Tam mopayatam patiyantu vipra ganga cha devi chitta chitta mise vito pasishta kuhatas kakshakova sisat palam gayaka vishnu gata. O Brahmins, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul. And let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I've already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahmin created, bite me at once. My only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Report. As soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he's not at all afraid of death. The atmosphere created by the presence of great devotees of the Lord on the bank of the Ganges and Maharaj Parikshit's complete acceptance the Lord's lotus feet were sufficient guarantee to the king for going back to God. He thus became absolutely free from all fear of death. Any questions or comments?
Thank you so much. I was just, you were saying that in order to be Krishna conscious while we're still absorbed in family life, you know, we need to be following principles, chanting 16 rounds, following the principles. And then while you were saying that, I was realizing that we have such a benediction that there's, you know, service to Krishna, there's so much service here in this community, you know, there's so many devotees engaged in the pujari work, the kitchen, or, you know, so much like that. And so I was just feeling like it's such a benediction. Like, probably my only break is when I do some Hari Nam occasionally. Just like, wow, this is the real life, you know? So, it thanks for that. It really does make a difference, to, even though I am kind of like captured by it. It's like I get a little peephole out of me, out of the cocoon.
Yeah, for the family people, the temple worship and the regular activities of sadhana are so important. Otherwise, it just becomes ordinary, mundane life. So yeah, so wonderful opportunities that you have here. Yes?
So we have some devotees, they
I think you need to hold the microphone closer.
Okay, yeah. We have a set of devotees that feel that there is no need for separation in the devotees community. I mean, husband and wife.
There are some people who think that husband and wife should stay together till the last day.
Till the last day. And you know, they kind of perform this heavily. And I know lots of times you preach the other way. I mean,
I have been known to say the opposite, yeah.
But is there some consideration on that aspect too? I mean,
why should one stay till the last day in family life? When the Bhagavatam is again and again pointing in the opposite direction, why do we do that? Why should we? It's going to be finished anyway. We're going to be separated anyway. So why not voluntarily? Why kicking and screaming? We're not even talking about separation here. If I'm talking about vanaprastha wife, the wife can come, or the wife can be there. But a serious program of detachment, first of all, forget sex. If we're in our 50s and 60s and 70s and having sex, what spiritual life do we have? And we're not even following the four regular principles if we're doing that. So that's the first thing. But you know, apart from that first thing, a serious program of detachment. I've made a checklist of various things one can do according to what one's state of progress. Toward detachment. Simple things like, for some people, canceling your Netflix subscription. Or for those who, you know, never had one or whatever, husband and wife sleep in separate rooms. Do you really need to be in one room? You know, that much separation is going to be the end of the world? A simple thing. But, you know, it's something. It's like an issue. But the world won't end. So, one can do that. And then more, and then more, and then more, and then more. Because we're headed toward the end. Time is not going to go the opposite way. So, before it ends, we want to loosen and finally dissolve that attachment. I'm supposed to be attached to Krishna. And in family life, I should be a little attached to my family. Prabhupada said that's through Krishna. So that's all right. But why should I be attached to the end, to people who I have nothing to do with ultimately? You know, I'm not going to go back to Godhead with my wife and kids. You know, have a little bungalow in the spiritual world someplace with our name on the mailbox. So I'll have my relationship with these people is ultimately illusory. Illusory in the sense that it doesn't last. The way a dream doesn't last. So for some time we're together and we're cooperating in spiritual life and we have some mutual duties. But at a certain point in life those duties change. And the duty becomes, the duty moves toward detachment. And Parikshit Maharaj is one example, very dramatically detached himself suddenly. Bharat Maharaj very dramatically, suddenly detached himself. Maharaj Anga suddenly left home. The Pandavas left with Draupadi and Kunti Devi followed. Maharaj Prithu went to the forest with his wife. But they didn't go there for comfortable living. Oh, this would be a nice place to build a cottage. No. It's a place for Brahmasokya, for spiritual happiness. Is that okay?
Yes, Mark, but another quick point. I read somewhere that stated that when old men discharge semen, they tend to die faster than the wife, and they also get more sick.
This is statistics. I used to know the exact numbers, but wives statistically outlive their husbands, partly because men tend to marry women who are a little younger than they are. Partly because women live longer than men, on average. The likelihood that, you know, we're thinking that I have to take care of my wife, I have to take care of my family, but the statistical likelihood is that you will die before they do. Again, that's just statistics, but that's likely. That you're going to die and they're going to keep living. So, why not die before you die? Die to live. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Good morning.
For your class. Very sobering and astringent. The message of the bottom of the tongue, and this message of detachment.
I think you need to speak up a little more.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I was just saying the message of detachment for a householder can feel somewhat astringent, a little bit stinging. And I was reflecting how the message is a common message in the Hare Krishna movement of being detached. And that was taken very seriously by my parents and by that first generation. And sometimes there's unhealthy detachment. Almost like, what are you detached from if you weren't attached in the first place? Meaning, detachment only seems to have significance if there was attachment in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so premature detachment, in my estimation, seems to be unhealthy. And even, when children are born and then the mother needs to attach, like the child needs to attach to the mother.
Yeah.
And so before you can really let go, there needs to be attachment. And so I was wondering if you could, it's almost a counter-argument, you could say, about...
Well, premature detachment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think if maybe you could share a little bit about that, side of what that means to attach even to family life in a healthy way.
Yeah. Premature detachment, of course, sometimes even premature detachment is accepted for the sake of a higher purpose. But we'll leave that aside and talk about the usual case. Prabhupada disapproved, you know, someone would get married and then like within 6 months or 8 months he realized that he didn't want to be married and didn't want all the problems and responsibilities of family life. And Srila Prabhupada would usually rebuke him that, you know, basically, get back to work, Jack. You took up this duty, now handle it responsibly and be Krishna conscious. And don't be whimsical and create a farce. So that would certainly be a premature detachment. Keep in mind that I really haven't said anything about sannyas today. It's all about vanaprastha. And if you're 50, we're not talking about premature detachment. If you're 50 or above, there's no question of premature detachment. If above, then it's already overdue, rather than premature. That's the usual problem. There is that tendency, as I mentioned, to just whimsically think, you know, let me renounce in order to get free from trouble with burdens and responsibilities. But the stronger tendency is just to go on and on and on and on and on and on and on, as if it will always go on. Or as if it's really okay just to sort of stay in family orbit until the end with some chanting, some spiritual activity. That's really not what we're recommended to do. Srila Prabhupada in one place in his writings says that the young devotees who are of the Krishna consciousness movement will one day have to accept the vanaprastha, or should one day accept the vanaprastha option. He expected that, not that there be eternal household life in Krishna consciousness. There's household, husband and wife may still be together, but their project is very different. Their purpose, their determination, their mindset in the vanaprastha ashram is all about getting free from this attachment that we've built up, downsizing, getting rid of, loosening attachments, putting things aside, giving up things we used to do, doing without, not having things that I'll have to spend for and therefore pay for, work for, like doing without, increasing spiritual association, increasing sadhana, chanting, hearing, increasing devotional service. That's where the fun is. The happiness and purpose and pleasure in life doesn't lie in working and paying bills and maintaining family affairs. It lies in becoming more and more attached to Krishna, and more engaged in Krishna's service, more engaged in direct activities of hearing and chanting. It's not like a punishment, it's a blessing. But Vrijashaka Rupa, Krishna has come to me as a blessing in the form of the curse by the Brahmin boy. The king didn't take it off. Just, you know, I'm a young man and I have my family and my kingdom and my this and my that. Thank God. If I was so attached, I never would have gotten free from these things. but Krishna has come to me in the form of this very nice curse. So we've been cursed by Srila Prabhupada. The young boys and girls in the Krishna consciousness movement should one day accept the Vanaprastha. That's a blessing. Curse come blessing, however you, it's just a question of seeing it. We get like another shot at it, you know, when we're brahmachari, and we get all, you're all free for chanting and all this wonderful activities of direct spiritual engagement. And then we get busy in family life. But this is another opportunity. Now I can focus on those same things again. Because that's what I want to do forever. I don't want to pay bills and forever. Or be connected with this bodily identity forever. I want to be engaged in service for Krishna service. So let's focus on that. I just want to be considerate of people and their time. So if your schedule tells you that it's time to go, then by all means feel free. And if you want to ask another question too, and stick around and do that.
Just a few thoughts.
Just
because our movement is so young. You know, in some ways, I see that the grandparents, you know, in our society, they really take a strong position in Krishna consciousness and trying to, you know, be the leaders of the family and encourage the chanting, the reading, the drama.
Yeah.
So it's like, here's the Bhakti Thakur, I believe, you know, him and his wife.
Excuse me?
Bhakti Thakur.
Hold the mic
straight up. Bhaknirata Thakur and his wife. I believe they, you know, they stayed together, but of course, you know, he also says when he took Charanamrita that his whole home turned into the spiritual world. So
what, what's
there,
the spiritual world?
Pardon?
What's the same Chaitanya Charitamrita? I missed that.
What
Charanamrita, yeah.
She was relating that when Bhaknirata Thakur would take Charanamrita, he saw his home turn into the spiritual world.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes what I see is that it is, you know, people have very spiritual homes in terms of the snake bird, you know, in our community especially, among the proper disciples, I mean, around the world, like practically every day, we're seeing people leave. So it seems like there can be that urgency without leaving the home, because it's difficult, like, where do you go? You know, especially at this time.
Where to go, and especially at this time.
With COVID, et cetera.
Yeah, go to Dr. Fauci's office and live there, yeah. So let's take your points as far as I can remember them, a few at a time. First thing is about the importance of grandparents for family. Yes, grandparents set the example of sadhana, of encouraging chanting, of spirit reading, spiritual activities. So they play a very important role. Grandparents also have to play the important role of setting the example for the next generation of detachment. I was hearing, in fact, from some second and third, you know, multiple generation devotee families, which means Indian families, the example of their grandparents, how they detach themselves from, you know, family affairs. So if we don't set that example, then the next generations will, you know, my parents lived happily in Krishna consciousness together, you know, kissing one another goodbye on the deathbed, and you know, why shouldn't we? So that's a responsibility. You don't look at Prabhupada's example. He had his children, his family, and yet he gave up everything bring Krishna consciousness to us.
But he didn't have a Krishna conscious, such a Krishna conscious family either.
He did. You know, he talked about, of course, the downside of his family, but he had Krishna consciousness in his family. And he had god brothers also who had Krishna conscious families and left them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the same thing. It's simply not a direction to Prabhupada gave this direction is there for Vanaprastha Ashram. It's presumed that you have a spiritual family life, that you have a Grahastha Ashram, not a Griha Maiti snake hole. And still, one is recommended to move on. The sages knew that people would have nice spiritual family lives, but it's a spiritual family life. And after spiritual family life, the next thing is spiritual retired life, and then perhaps the next thing is spiritual renounced life. So they knew it. Still they said that. The next thing is, why only your own grandchildren? What about other people's grandchildren? There's so many children, grandchildren, so many people who need the association of devotees. Why only these two or four or seven people called my grandchildren who are in a bodily relationship with me? What about everybody else? Why am I focused on this small tribe of people? That's the next point. The next point is that the women can stay home and set that example. Our BTG publisher in Juhu, Yudhisthira Prabhu, when I first met him, he was living with his wife, his two children, his mother, and his grandmother, all of whom he was maintaining. And the grandmother's business was bhajan. But grandmother's business was bhajan. And that there are so many spiritual families like that where the presence of a saintly mother or grandmother really keeps everyone a little focused. Keeps sometimes, you know, quite domineeringly so. You must go to Mangalarti and so on, depending on the character and nature of the person. But just the presence of such saintly ladies sanctifies the whole family and gives a spiritual direction. So that's sort of the normal case, that the men are expected to go out and the women are expected to stay home and provide that kind of presence in the family. And be cared for by the family, that's also. It's not the right example that my husband takes care of me in my 70s and 80s and 90s. It's supposed to be that my children take care of me in the 70s and 80s and 90s. So that, if we somehow short-circuit that or rewire that, we lose that important aspect of the culture, that the children have to take the responsibility for the parents. Not that somehow dad works till he's 85 and takes care of mom, but that the children take care of the parents. That's culture. Is that okay? Shall we stop here? We're already over time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All very good.
One more question.
I know that like a athlete and I have had everything, what you say, in my heart, 100%. But for the point of view of a woman, a mother,
are you listening carefully so that you can repeat it? So the toothpicks are poor.
You know, when you are a household, a married, and then if you are married for years in Krishna consciousness, that means that this husband or this wife is your spiritual support. And then how can you keep, you know, gonna separate that association that is very important for you and keep you every day doing your love for Krishna, your surrender to your spiritual master, and to everything that means come to the temple, worship the deities. This is called teamwork. I'm not for you because you're a sannyasi. It's different, and I 100% understand. But in the other side, you also have to understand when you choose.
I think that you, excuse me, but it's more than he can repeat, and I think we should be able to get the essence of it. Yes.
She's asking that she has great respect for everything that you are saying as a sannyasi, but for her as a mother and as a woman, growing up or being in Krishna consciousness, working as a team, having the support of her husband, then being separated from that support can be very difficult.
Yes, it's understood that for a woman to be separated from her husband is...
This is your spiritual association.
You're not having that spiritual association with your husband.
Yes, it's understood. It's understood that it's difficult. It's understood that it's difficult. And yet, that's our culture. Statistically, the chances are that you're going to have to do that anyway. Even if your husband decides to stay with you till his last day, the chances are high that he's going to die before you, and then you're going to be alone. So, we accept, so the Vedic culture is to accept that willingly and adjust our consciousness to understand that Krishna is the person upon whom I ultimately have to depend. There's much more to say about that and about other things related, but time is... I think if you have more questions, maybe you can just ask me. In other words, we're going to be here